Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. Yo, the villain is in the house. It's the Sports City Chefs, the caller's cookout. Dripping off the meat, beat kind of dripping off the meat, kind of heat, kind of pimping, stripping, soft, sweet, minor, China was a neat sign of trouble with the script. Double dip, sub bubble lips, subtle blips, midget. Borderline schizo, sort of fine tits, though, born to wine, quarter grind, quarter to nine, let's go. I could sit here and sit and sing Man of Doom all day, but I don't have all day. We only got like about 90 minutes on this show. Call in number 929-477-2759. You could be anywhere in the world, but you chose to be with the chefs. And it is the cookout, the villain versus the hero, where good always wins. But let me tell you, a good hero also needs a good villain. But I got a great hero in the building. I got TP Timeless here with me on the side. TP, how you doing, brother?
The whole world taking off, so I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The cookout Timeless is alive. You already know how this thing go down. It's your boy in the beginning of the month of June. I feel sorry for some situations that happened inside and outside of the garden. We'll be getting into a lot of that. But I'm feeling some type of way. I don't know what else to say. I can't wait to eat this orange and blue dish of mine.
You want to cook in the orange and blue skies already? Oh my God! I wasn't even gonna talk about that. We can go move on. But
yeah, that's why you cheating. That's why you smiling like it's first grade picture day. That's why you smiling.
You want to talk? We can talk that issue again. That's no problem, brother. No problem. But
Listen. And in the words of Wu-Tang, I got some marvelous stuff to get your mouth watering. I'm in the cookout.
Raw, I'm going to bring it to you with no trivia. I'm like cocaine straight from Bolivia. Okay.
Get out of there.
Ooh. All right, let me bring in our other co-host, the man from the 703, the serious one himself, Aaron Simmons. Serious, what's up, brother?
Yo, man, it's a takeover, the breaks over, call a cookout, serious in the building, God MC, me. Let me stop, man. I don't want bars with your boy tonight, man. I'm feeling some type of way, man. Such a pleasure to be here on another edition. Let's get to work, man.
Yeah, let's cook it up. So, I mean, TP, I mean, you want to talk? Let's go. Go ahead. Kick it off.
Oh, no, we don't have to start there, man. I got to let this thing warm up. You know what I'm saying? Listen.
You've got Socrates' philosophies and hypotheses, so let's inspect the deck. You got to set it off to make everything else. Everybody behind you can't follow you.
Nah, man. I know you got stuff set up today, man. You do what you got to do. I just know I can. Don't act like I can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can, but I don't want to start off bombing. Like I could start bombing. I got to let that entree roll out. Because this ain't no little hors d'oeuvre. Like, with your honey putting a napkin under your chin and be like, Barry, eat this. You know, because I want Shy to feel like she's feeding you. I want her to look at you and be like, you going to eat all that? Like I want her to give you that. You know what I'm saying? So set it off, and I'll have your dish prepared shortly. Don't you worry.
All right. Well, I mean, listen. Let's start with the NFL. Let's kick it off there, and then we'll move into basketball in the back half because there's a lot of basketball to talk about. Coach of the Year, MVP was handed out. You got the playoffs going. Teams eliminated. Teams playing in the second round. You know, there was a lot of KP slander going on in the clubhouse. That TP Timeless does a great job with those guys, and I came in a couple of times, and it got a little hot because the villain always brings that heat. But it's all love, though. You know how I do, TP. You know how I know. As my wife mocks me in the back. I mean, you heard my wife mocking me in the background, right? You heard that, right? Everybody heard that.
Yo,
you know,
I love her,
like,
her
yeah,
so
you
much.
Know,
for
you
that.
Don't do shit.
No, I
yeah, so you don't
she
do shit.
It.
You don't
she
do shit. What do you want, you big dummy? But, it's all love. But, I mean, Julio Jones got his wish and was traded from the Atlanta Falcons to the Tennessee Titans a couple days ago. He came out and said basically he's going to rock number two as his jersey. He's not going to hold up anybody for that number, which he probably should. But, you know, the Titans basically made a deal. They're going to absorb his $15 million. Sirius, you know what was it? It was a second-round pick, right? That was it that he was traded for?
Yeah.
Pick
and some stuff later on in the draft. I think it was a second, like,
okay.
2-5 or something like that.
Okay, yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah, so, I mean, the deal got done. It wasn't the first-round pick that the Falcons were claiming that they wanted, and we knew in the Sports City, in the kitchen, that wasn't going to happen. But a second round isn't bad for a really good receiver that got some good years left on his in his legs, in my opinion. So, TP, I mean, handicap it for me. How do you think he's going to do in Tennessee? That was a name I think Sirius had brought up last week as a potential suitor. We thought there might be other teams in the mix, but the Titans came correct, and they got their guy, and now Julio Jones is paired with Ryan Tannehill to try to get over the hump there.
The biggest piece of this puzzle is Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill is going to have to prove that he could make these throws. I mean, he's had a good time in the duration of the season last year. He's making some interesting passes, but we all know it all starts and ends with Derrick Henry. Now that he has a horse on the outside with Julio, he's going to have to give him the ball to get the defense to play honest and open these running ways up for Derrick Henry. So everything is revolving around Ryan Tannehill right now. I mean, they gave him the big bucks. They gave him more money than Derrick Henry. You're going to have to earn this now because you have a weapon on the outside now. Derrick Henry was helping save you a lot, taking a lot of pressure off of you, stiff-arming people out of bounds and throwing them on their back and making people look like little kids and they grown men getting million-dollar contracts. Now all of a sudden you got to feed the beast, a.k.a. Julio Jones. So this is interesting. I want to see if he can because if so, if he's able to make the connection, the Tennessee Titans will win the AFC South handily. I think Mike Vrabel's done a good job defensive-minded to help them get to where they need to be. This offense is now coming around with the addition of Julio Jones, and I think this is great for him while he's entering the heavy part of his career, getting to the latter years of a receiver. So I still feel like he can do it. Both of them are horses with Derrick Henry and Julio Jones. I can't wait to see them play ball, to be brutally honest. I think they will win the AFC South if Tannehill can make the connection and have that rapport that he had with Matty Ice.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't win. I mean, the Colts are a good team. They have a good defense, a young defense. I kind of question what Tennessee has done on defense. They've let a lot of defensive backs go, but I still think they have, to your point, they have a good core. And pairing Julio Jones with A.J. Brown, who offered his number 11 to Julio, but Julio said, no, I'm going to go to number two. That's a big – that's two big receivers and a big running back. Oh, boy, you try tackling those guys. Like, oh, my goodness. That's going to be a lot of fun. Sirius, I'd love to get your opinion on Julio joining A.J. Brown in the receiving core and then, you know – having targets for Ryan Tannehill to throw to in the AFC South.
You know, honestly, man, this I don't want to say it comes as a shock because again, we were sitting here last week when you know the initial story got brought out by you know, Schefter and all these guys. And I honestly thought, in my honest opinion, that the Tennessee Titans might be a landing spot. So when it actually went down, this, I think it happened on Sunday or something like that, it didn't shock me. But the thing that you really got to understand is, you know, the Tennessee Titans position themselves to be in this and to be in this spot. You know what I'm saying? You go out and improve your defense. You bring in, you know, Bud Dupree from Pittsburgh. You bring in, you know, some guys who can bolster your defense. And then you surround Ryan Tannehill with all of the weapons. And I mean all of the weapons that he needs to be successful. This is the most type of weaponry that he's played with in his whole career. And let's not forget, A.J. Brown is no scrub. I mean, this guy is no scrub. So you literally got a 1-2 punch, a 1-2 tandem out there. And, you know, King Henry needs no endorsement from any of us. So, quite frankly, I got into this argument with the guy on my on Facebook the other day. You know, the Tennessee Titans need to honestly be put in the upper echelons of the AFC just by this move alone. And if Julio Jones is able to give them any type of resemblance of what he can do. Like, let's not be funny. Even though he doesn't get in the end zone, I mean, it's still a 13, you know, 12-50 type of guy on a season-in, season-out basis. You know, that's production, you know what I'm saying? And then you throw A.J. Brown in the mix, and, you know, he's the guy who's been kind of holding that receiving core down, you know what I'm saying? So, honestly, all Ryan Tannehill has to do is don't mess it up. You know what I'm saying? They have now put the pieces around him on both sides of the ball to make a legitimate run and be successful. Keep in mind, this is a team that, you know, and going back and forth with Baltimore, you know what I'm saying, they just got an additional weapon that Baltimore has no answer for. They don't have a soul over there that can check either one of these two guys. They don't have a soul over there. Hell, I'm a Steelers fan. We don't have a soul in Pittsburgh right now that can deal with what we got to deal with playing the Tennessee Titans this year, if they're all healthy. Now, again, health is a factor, but let's keep it a buck. You really have to understand how Julio Jones plays. And if you understand how Julio Jones plays, you understand the reason why this move for this particular Tennessee Titans team is so pivotal. It's so pivotal. So, I mean, again, if you're a Titans fan, go get your number 2 jersey, you know, get excited because it's going to be fun watching this, you know, watching the situation unfold. TP alluded to it. It's going to be fun watching the Tennessee Titans play. Mike Vrabel has already made chicken salad out of chicken's crack before. What do you think he's going to do now with a potent offense behind him?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I look at Julio Jones, to your point, doesn't get a lot of touchdowns because he's, like, triple covered. How can he get in the end zone, especially when this offense is notorious for getting down the field but stalling in the red zone? I feel like they don't run good offense in the red zone to get him in the end zone. And they just, like, what? On the goal line, throw, you know, fade patterns and, you know, toss. You know, it's just like, come on, be a little bit more creative than that. But now you bring in Julio Jones, he takes the pressure off of A.J. Brown. Brown doesn't have to be a number one. I think he's a solid number one, but now he could be a really good number two receiver against the number one receiver in Julio Jones. So Tannehill now, he plays a little bit better than a game manager. He can't get the ball downfield. He can't make a lot of the throws, but a lot of the pressure was taken off because he can hand off to Derrick Henry, to your point. So now I think, TP, you're correct. I think he has to be able to get the ball downfield, make the throws in tight windows, and get these guys the ball and take pressure off Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry is the decoy, this offense can play with anybody. We're talking, you know, they could play with the Bills, they can play with the Chiefs, et cetera, in the AFC. So I think that, you know, at the very least, this offense should be able to get them the division. I mean, the Colts are a good team, but, you know, the Jags are clearly rebuilding, and Houston, we don't know what's going on with Houston with their quarterback situation. So until we see it, you know, we can't believe what's going on there. So I think it's there for the taking. That's why they made the move. They said, we're going in, we're going hard for it. And I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to take this division. So
You know, I think it's a great move. I don't know if anybody else had anything to add. We can move on to other NFL stories.
Barring any injury, they should have the AFC South. I think the Colts are the only challenge, but we have to see what Wentz is up to. If Wentz has turned the corner from Philadelphia, I think it could be an interesting situation because he's on turf and has a quality receiving core in front of him. But I, with this addition, Derrick Henry and Julio, and a defense that's already stout with a no-name situation and Vrabel being that no-name type of guy out of New England, it's going to be pretty tough in the AFC South for them to stop Tennessee, but barring any injury.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. You know, Carson Wentz is a wild card for the Colts, but he's walking into a better situation, I think, than he left in Philly. Philly is like a mess. I mean, people can say what they want. They're a mess.
Well,
here's the thing with that, Barry.
I mean, yeah, Philly's a mess, but once again, Carson Wentz didn't really help himself either. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't help yourself getting hurt, but this is a guy who literally would hold football significantly longer than he needed to. And, I mean, he didn't do himself any favors. Now, again, the offensive line was bad. He, you know, he really had, you know, that guy receiver because, you know, his receivers was hurt and D-Jack, you know, played a game, a season, and whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, man, like, I mean, Carson Wentz, I mean, if I was going to roll out a list, and I may end up doing this, you know, blogging or whatever, texting to the fellas or whatever, but if we're going to roll out a list of NFL players that need to prove something in 2021, my top five, Carson Wentz is on that list on some level because at this point he has no excuse. He has no excuse. Like he's gotten paid. You know, he has significant weapons out there in Indianapolis now. He has a running game. He has an offensive line. You know, he has a decent head coach. You know, you're playing indoors. You know, inside the dome. You know, and all you got to do is stay healthy. And he has yet been able to stay healthy since he hurt the first time. You know, so.
Yeah, I definitely need to read. I need that. I need that article. I need that heat because I know you're going to have some good players that I would probably agree with. So, but I agree with,
depending upon who you.
I mean, you like to disagree. I don't always disagree. You like to disagree with the villain. You like to be that thorn in my side. You know, he's like our little brother that keeps like, you know, egging at us. You know, poking at us. Like we're like, just go play somewhere. I'm busy. You know what I mean? Twinkle toes. Twinkle toes, you're breaking my heart. Camp with me. Go play somewhere. I'm busy.
Go play somewhere.
You know,
I'm busy.
Know, and, you know, all love. I love this dude. But, no, I agree with you, man. Carson's got a lot to prove. And you know, this guy was an MVP candidate, you know, 3-4 years ago. And the fall off is incredible, and you know a lot of that wasn't his fault in Philly, but you know some of it is his fault because he was stubborn. He didn't want to progress. He didn't want to get better. He wanted to call plays that he wanted to run in the huddle and change plays. He didn't make the situation easy on himself either. So, you know, there's a lot to go on that goes on there. But one thing I did want to mention, TP, another story that I saw. Was Jared Goff. You know, the mini camps are opening. Most of the teams are there. Most of the players are there, except for one, which we'll get to next. But Jared Goff for the Lions basically came out, and I don't want to paraphrase it, so I got to find it. I did see it. Basically, I feel like it was a little bit of a jab because he says. Goff basically said he feels empowered by the Lions coaches and said that he has a healthy relationship with Dan Campbell so far. So, I mean, do you, TP, I'm going to come to you. Do you read between the lines and see that as a good thing in Detroit or kind of like a parting shot jab at his former coach, Sean McVay, in Los Angeles?
I think he's got to make the best of this situation right here to, you know, keep his name clean. Everybody knows how he left L.A. It got pretty messy. A lot of people saying that he needed McVay in that Todd Gurley play-action situation, which Detroit is trying to help him get Todd Gurley back so that magic could come back. So I like that. And I think these coaches are going to try their best to work with him. I'm not too thrilled with this whole situation because he's talking junk before we can even get going. I think they should have got a quarterback behind them. But if they're all gung-ho on him and he's able to make the difference, I'm actually reading an article right now of T.J. Hockenson speaking high on him too. So knowing that's a Pro Bowl tight end that's actually coming out speaking on him and saying good things, quality things about him, especially moving from Stafford to him, it's very interesting. So I know it's an uphill battle, him going into Detroit, knowing that they had some bad seasons with Patricia for the past two, three seasons, if I'm counting this season, because he left way before the halfway point. But Campbell has this belief where everybody's buying into it. You got to get a coach to get the troops and then start to go through the storm. Patricia lost the whole locker room, lost all the stars. Everybody went everywhere. And I guess slowly rebuild. If God can get this thing going with the pieces that he has, I mean, I'm with him. Of course I got to go with him. I'm diehard. His Lions are nothing. But at the end of the day, I mean, he's been in the playoffs. He's beaten Rodgers in the playoffs. This is all new for him. No matter how the North had looked before, it's different with no Stafford behind center. So if he comes out blazing, especially up against the San Francisco 49ers, the defense that he knows out the gate and can make things turn around, I'm all for it. But right now he has a lot to prove. And I wouldn't, like, open the door for a lot of these defenses to start sharpening knives to come at you. But if he's that confident in his game and if the offense could gather what they could put around him, I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'll quote it, I think it's been a healthy relationship. It's something that's been fun for me to experience and be a part of the guys that are really wanting to hear from me and want to hear what I like. And basically talking about his head coach and who I think was an underrated signing, TP. I haven't heard you talk about it, but offensive coordinator Anthony Lynn. I think he is a key piece in that Lions locker room because he has head coaching experience in San Diego. Didn't quite work out, but can't dispute what that offense did in San Diego, especially with a rookie quarterback in Herbert. I mean, the talent is a little bit better in San Diego than it is in Detroit, but, you know, he's a darn good coach, and I'm glad he landed on his feet somewhere. So I think this is a good fit for him. But Goff said, you know, he wasn't taking a shot at his former team, but, I mean, come on, I'm reading between the lines. You know, it's like, you know, like kind of Jay and Nod, like, you know, I did you know what with you know who. I'll keep that between me and you. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like that little subtle jab. So, I mean, serious, you saw the article. I mean, what do you think about Goff's comments? Do you like it? Do you think it's a jab at his old coach? Do you think he's in a good situation, a good state of mind right now in Detroit?
I don't believe he's in a better situation in Detroit than he was with the Rams, just based off the sheer talent alone. And that's on both sides of the football. You know, I understand that, you know, Sean McVay's offense is difficult, you know, and, you know, it's a lot of jet sweeps and motions and dummy calls and whatever the case may be. But ultimately, as the quarterback, your job, and, you know, it's to throw the football to the man with your jersey on. This is a guy that it was near the league, you know, near the high of the league and turnovers the past few years. You know, again, Sean McVay never really established a running game or really did anything like that. You know, he played musical chairs with the running backs and whatnot. And so I understand that a quarterback's best friend is a running back and a running game. But at the end of the day, I don't understand why on earth would you make this type of a comment, you know, when it's going to look and appear as though you are taking jabs at your former employer. Let's keep it a buck. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If you had your choice of where you wanted to play football, why in the world would you go to cold as Detroit as opposed to staying in sunny, you know, beautiful weather, Los Angeles?
Well, we know he didn't have a choice.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, both men were disgruntled. Both men went to their respective organizations like, listen, I want to be traded. Okay, I don't believe if Jared Goff, exceptional football, and wanted to stay in L.A., I don't think he would have been traded. Now, again, Matthew Stafford, he said he wanted to be gone. He said he wanted to be traded. I honestly thought, in my honest opinion, that he was coming here to D.C. to play with the Washington football team. That didn't happen, and he landed where he landed. At the end of the day, I don't believe Jared Goff is in a position right now to be, you know, taking, you know, subtle shots, to be, you know, talking about, you know, recommending this or recommending that. Bro, get your nose in your playbook, throw the ball to your teammates with the right color uniforms on and protect yourself before you start talking about, you know, anything like that. Again, if you're just looking on sheer talent and sheer depth chart alone, you had it better in L.A. So I don't understand what makes you think you're going to do anything different here in Detroit with less talent.
I mean, but I think it counts that he's happy. I think that counts for something. I think he was miserable in Los Angeles. But at the end, he wasn't basically in that starting lineup. Like, he didn't play that last game, and there was a question if he was going to play in the playoffs. The relationship was so bad, and they just could not trust him and didn't allow him. He just kept the shackles on him. And maybe it was maybe he felt like he couldn't run his offense. And that, you know, he couldn't do the simple things that he needed. I mean, who knows? That's kind of what I think. Like, I just think that McVay lost confidence in Goff running his offense. And I think that's why the relationship soured.
It was all good 3 weeks ago, 3 years ago when he was in the Super Bowl. When he was, you know, the
greatest. Yeah, but since that Super Bowl game, it hasn't been good.
It hasn't been good because Jared Goff hasn't protected the football.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying is that Super Bowl was the start of the end because that was a miserable performance. You remember that game? There was no offense.
I mean, everybody played bad in that Super Bowl. Even Brady had a bad Super Bowl. Like, let's be real here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, so we ain't going to pile it on him going up against a monster and Bill Belichick. But, like, let me finish, bro. Let me finish because y'all piling on him. Like, this is what it's going to be. Like, I'm even saying that he ain't in the best of situations to have people come for him, but, bro, he got to the freaking Super Bowl. Like, ain't too many quarterbacks that can say they can get there, i.e. Matthew Stafford. So he was able to do it with guys like Woods and Kupp and them. These guys aren't world-beater receivers, but he got it done. Like, if the play action was working, Todd Gurley was on a phenomenal season, he got there. Like, I get it. Like, you guys are in a situation where your team is in a better scenario, but he's trying to make something happen while the world is against him. Like that's what's wrong with America today, because people pin you to your past, bro. They don't think you got a second chance in you. And every last one of us was given a second chance, bro. Y'all go to church, man.
Listen, let's not start preaching. I'm not piling on Jared Goff. You know I'm not piling on Jared Goff. But here's the deal. Everybody in this room knows that I blame McVay for that Super Bowl performance. And if you don't know, I'm going to tell you why. Because he was stubborn. He didn't change his game plan. Bill Belichick outcoached him, and instead of adjusting, he never did. He kept going to the well, saying, well, eventually this play action is going to work. Eventually this is going to work, and it never did. So, I mean, I don't blame Goff for that game. I think McVay used Goff as a scapegoat to say that I didn't lose that game, Goff did. And the subsequent years after, he's kind of been using Goff as his guinea pig, as basically as the reason why nothing's working, and I don't think it's fair. That's why I'm saying, I just said, I think he's in a better situation, even though, to Sirius's point, the talent is better in Los Angeles than it is in Detroit. You can't put a price tag on happiness, and that's what I think. That's why I think he's in a better situation. So, Sirius, I don't know if you want to finish this one off, but, you know.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not too sure we were piling on to the guy. Ultimately, you know, the situation in that Super Bowl, you know, it was a defensive game, and, you know, and it's a salute to him for that. But at the end of the day, my whole point was, it was all good three years ago. And then because of how he's played, you know, the 2 years after that, you know, is the reason why he finds himself in the position that he's in. I don't think if Jared Goff, you know, cuts down on his turnovers by half, were in this position, or, you know, he overthrows guys. I mean, he didn't play good football. And again, I'm pretty sure if you ask him, he'll admit, I didn't play good football. You know, so I don't understand why, you know, now that you're in Detroit, you feel the need to make that type of statement. You know, go out there, ball out, do what you got to do, then make your statement. You know what I'm saying? But the last time I seen you on game film, you know, you were getting, you know, snapped around and overthrowing open receivers and, you know, leaving your receivers out to dry, putting bad balls in the way and, you know, this, that, and the third. And that's just unacceptable, man, especially with that type of, you know, offense and with that type of ability around you. I mean, that's unacceptable. So I'm not saying he's going to have a horrible year in Detroit, you know, as much as I like to, you know, harass TP and, you know, go ahead with him on it. But at the end of the day, you can't sit there and say, I'm happy, I'm, you know, I'm having fun, or I'm happy that, you know, they're listening to me, or, you know, taking my opinion on some things. Bro, you come in at ground zero. Like, you have no rapport with these guys. You have nothing. Dude, go in there, get to know them in your playbook, go to work. Go out there on Sundays or Thursdays or Mondays and, you know, put up some wins and play ball, then talk your junk. That's like me stepping on the court, you know what I'm saying, talking trash without seeing how the rest of the cats ball.
I mean, I've seen your jumper, so I don't know why you were talking junk, but no.
I get buckets.
I get money I got, right? Like, okay.
No, not going to go with that.
But no, we got the yeah, calling number 929-477-2759, the caller's cookout. The villain, Timeless Serious, going here, talking some little bit of football. I want to get into Aaron Rodgers before we pivot to basketball. I definitely want to give us enough time to talk some basketball, but I wanted to get this out because the big story of the camp, why everybody's talking about training camp, is that Aaron Rodgers ain't there. He hasn't shown up for the first 2 days, and I think there's only three, so I don't anticipate him showing up. He's subject to a $94,000 fine for missing the whole training camp. I think it's 30-something thousand a day. So, I mean, TP, I'll come right back to you because I definitely want to get your opinion since this is your division. But Aaron Rodgers not there. I guess now, you know, players are starting to get asked about it. Devontae Adams was asked, you know, where does he kind of stand on it? He said he supports his guy. He backs his guy 100%. So, I mean, is that I don't think it's a problem, but what's your opinion on the idea that, you know, Adams didn't come out and talk about money. He said he's not against ownership, but he supports his guy. I mean, what do you think about that? I'd love to get your opinion on it. And, where does Aaron Rodgers go now that he's basically taking a stand and not showing up to camp, for camp for the Packers?
I'm not even, like, buying into, like, diving into this too heavy because he could do whatever he wants. So the system, he's won, what, I want to say over four games in the past two seasons with this offense. He knows everything that's in front of him. Him and LaFleur, I think LaFleur needs to speak to him. And then the difference between, like, I don't want to say a difference, but it's funny how favoritism or, like, I would say another word, but I won't get involved because if he's facing $94,000 for the whole camp to be missed, while there's been other players in other scenarios that have lost way more each day, like, that's ridiculous. So they're doing their best so they don't have to harm the situation because they're ending up going to look at losing one of the best quarterbacks of all time being in that organization as well. So I'm not buying into this until Aaron Rodgers really pulls the trigger. I really think he's going to be back. He's not going to leave Green Bay. It's all smoke right now. I think that him being born, what, 83, so he's 37 now. He don't need to go out there and prove nothing else. Like, he didn't scramble for those 8 yards to pick up that touchdown. He got that all in the back of his head and chip on his shoulder. He had an interview saying that still bothered him. I watched that interview and how he didn't make that play and how him and LaFleur didn't see eye to eye and basically had Crosby kick the kick. And I think that's still under his skin. It's a bittersweet situation. And I think that he's going to just have to get over this and come right back to the Green Bay Packers. I don't think he's going to Denver or Vegas or San Francisco because he's a kid from the Bay. It sounds good, but he ain't going nowhere, man. He's going to retire a Packer, man. I'm talking that into existence. Or how funny or how odd would it look that he ends up being a Jeopardy host after losing a NFC Championship game for the fourth time in a row, and the fourth time was to Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback we ever seen, and he had the option to run the ball in and make the difference and didn't. And that was the way his career ended in Green Bay? Like, no, he better make something happen soon. I'm not buying into this at all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a statement, but to your point, I mean, I remember the Super Bowl year, the New York Giants, Mike Strahan didn't show up until the season started. You know, he took that fine, but it was his last year. But he was at the point, he doesn't need to show up and do all that. The young guys do. He didn't need to. He's been in the league long enough. So it didn't hurt his performance. They went on to win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, maybe Aaron Rodgers is probably in that same category. But, I mean, it's just, you know, with him being disgruntled and the team not being on the same page with the team, you know, it does raise questions. Serious, I'll come to you. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers not showing up? And what do you think about Devontae Adams basically supporting his quarterback and saying he backs his guy 100%?
You know, I mean, I'm not in the position where TP's at. I honestly believe that there's going to come a point in time where they're going to have to really look at moving this guy or finding him or whatever they need to do. I just think that, you know, regardless of how his career or his last game ended, there's been so much sand and so much bad blood that it's making it an unhospitable work environment. Like, I don't understand if you're Aaron Rodgers at this point, how do you come back? Like, you know, I just don't understand how that happens at this point in time. You know, do I want to see him in Denver? No. Do I think he'll go to, you know, Houston or, you know, the Bay or anything like that? I'm not too sure, but I'm willing to bet that he's not going to play in Green Bay. And it's unfortunate because, again, like TP's point, you know, the last time we saw him in Green Bay, it wasn't good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you work your butt off, get the number one seed, turn Tom Brady over three times in a row, do nothing with it. I mean, we all seen the script before. We rehearsed this and talked about this at length. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, whatever bad blood or whatever frustration he has, it's still there. You know what I'm saying? You can throw a Band-Aid on that. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no quick fix, you know, situation. He's pissed, you know, and the fact that his teammate, you know, primarily his guy, Devontae Adams, is coming out in support, you know, kind of gives Aaron Rodgers more leeway to say, yo, my guy is backing me. My man's backing me. You know what I'm saying? People have talked about it, and, you know, we all heard and saw, you know, what Favre had to say about the situation. So at the end of the day, I think, you know, this is more than just Aaron Rodgers is a Packer organization thing. Like, they did the same thing to Brett Favre, you know, with Aaron Rodgers. So what makes you think Aaron Rodgers doesn't see the writing on the wall and is like, y'all, you ain't going to do me like this. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I think he's gone. I think he's gone. How they get it done is up in the air. I'm not too sure. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to go to Denver or wherever it may be, but I think he's getting gone.
I don't think so. I really don't think he's going to go. I think he's putting it's about respect, and I think he wants his respect, and I think he doesn't want what happened to Brett Favre to happen to him. I honestly think you got Aaron Rodgers, you got him at what? Would you say he was 37 TP? So, I mean, you still got what? Another 4 or 5 years with this guy? As a quarterback at an elite level before, you know, maybe you think about him not playing in the league anymore, not, let alone your team. So, I mean, Jordan Love will be on his rookie contract for only 4 years. Unless you're going to move off of Aaron Rodgers, you said he's coming back. Unless you're going to move off him and bring in Love, why did you draft him? Why is he here? Because eventually you'll have to either pay him or let him go. So you wasted that draft pick. So the only way to fix it is to go to Aaron Rodgers and say, baby, I'm sorry. I done gave up that narcotic now. You know, I'm sorry now. Time for you to come home. Time for you to come home, like Ike Turner said to Tina. Time for you to come home and then get rid of Jordan Love. That's what you got to do. Get rid of Jordan Love. Trade him. Goodbye. Because he's not in your future plan if Aaron Rodgers is here at 37 can play till he's 42. That he, it doesn't make sense. You're going to pay both of them and pay premium money, as Mr. Controversy James Greenwood would say. You're not going to pay him that money. So why is he here? Get rid of him. I don't want him here. Goodbye. Just like Tom Brady, Garoppolo traded, you need to trade Jordan Love and get some respect to the guy that's going to probably win you a Super Bowl if you have everything in place the way it should be. You know, listen, you guys can dispute that. That's fine. That's how I feel. I think it's time. I think it's time for him to go. But
I will say this. I will say this, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will say this to your point. The only way I see this ending positive, you know, in a positive manner is if the Packers actually indeed trade Jordan Love. If they keep Jordan Love on that roster, there is no way in the world that Aaron Rodgers is coming back to that. And again, I'm not buying what A-Rod said. He said it's not against the kid. You know what I'm saying? He and, you know, Jordan got a decent relationship, this, that, and the third. No, he's pissed. He's pissed because, once again, they haven't really surrounded him with, you know, talent and first-round draft picks and blah, 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 this, that, and the third. Not to mention he has a personal vendetta with the ownership. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. With that being said, the only way I honestly believe, and again, it's not often I agree with you, but the only way that this ends, you know, the way the Packers wanted to, Jordan Love has to go.
You have to. I'm sorry. There's no reason to have him here unless you want him to be the starter. I saw what you just sent, Eric, you know, and I saw that article too, that Jordan Love said he's definitely ready to start if, you know, week one if he had to. Okay, yeah, you're taking mandatory reps against no defense. You ain't ready to start, brother. I'm sorry. But you know what? If that's the guy you want, then tell Rodgers that and trade him. Then do that. But if you're not going to trade him, then get rid of Love because he's not going to see the field. And not on a rookie contract. I mean, what? Yeah, God. I mean, just respect the guy that's there and do – the quarterback has a lot more power than they had when Brett Favre was playing. It's Aaron Rodgers can call the shots. This is what you have to do to get him back, get him in camp, and get him happy. I got a caller in queue. I definitely want to bring him in and get his opinion on this before we shift to basketball. Calling in from the 970, we got Eric Big E, Eazy-E. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, here is a guy that threw for 4,300 passing yards, 48 touchdowns, mm-hmm. and 5 interceptions. Green Bay is on glue here. They need to be listening to Rodgers, and just like you said, yeah, Love has to go. He's not ready to go. He may say he's ready to go because he had a good showing in OTAs. Just like you just said, no defense, nothing going on. They need to get rid of this guy and show Aaron Rodgers some respect and try and talk to him about what I mean, he needs to be involved in the decision-making of the team. This is a guy, like you said, is going to win this team Super Bowls. He can definitely play till he's 42 years old, especially if he stays healthy. This guy doesn't show any signs of slowing down. At 37 years old, you're putting up 48 touchdowns and 5 interceptions and MVP. Come on. This is a no-brainer here, Green Bay.
Absolutely. That's how I feel. So, I mean, it's nothing against Jordan Love. I'm sure he's a good kid, a good quarterback, and he could play in this league, but just not for the Green Bay Packers because you already got a guy that's a multiple-time MVP that's already won your Super Bowl and was one play or two away from getting you back to the Super Bowl. So, you know, show him a little bit of respect. I mean, TP, I don't know if you have any opinion on this, and we can move on to basketball because I know you wanted to cook it up.
No, I mean, like I said, there's no way that they continue to entertain to watch this go on. They got to try and settle this down, like, now while we're in June. We're getting ready for July. Like, we're 22 days away from July, and August will be right there. So they got to get this figured out and know which way they're going, because if not, this gets even worse. They're going to have Jordan Love beat halfway unprepared. So they better get this figured out. I mean, we can go any direction y'all like, though.
No, absolutely. I agree. And I think that's kind of the consensus. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, Green Bay needs to, you know, just like I said, Ike Turner, just get in there. I'm sorry. I done gave up that knock on. You know, I'm a changed man. You know, I'm a changed man. So, but TP, go ahead. Let's shift into the NBA. I know you wanted to cook, so go ahead and cook. I'll give the spatula to you. You can get on the grill.
Okay. Well, Atlanta took care of the Knicks, and I'm here to try to support my brother, you know, as much as I can, even though he's the bad son. You know, if you ever seen the good son, I think he's Macaulay Culkin and I'll be Elijah. You know what I'm saying? And he do all type of stuff. He's the blonde kid and, you know, things of that nature. But I was actually high on the Knicks to try and get in. I had them sweeping, and it totally turned his head on me. Not only did it, like, make Atlanta competitive, Atlanta got rid of the Knicks, and then next thing you know, they give Coach of the Year to Tom Thibodeau. Most improved player goes to Julius Randle, and none of this looked like it survived the series. So, like, they shut the Garden down. This is the first time they've been in a postseason since 2013. It's like, what's going to go on in the next couple of seasons while they have an aging leader in Derrick Rose, because nobody else looks like their leader. I could care less if Julius Randle had a great season or not, but I don't think he's leader of the team the way that he fell asleep on these guys. So, I mean, I throw that one around the kitchen before it gets to you, Barry. I want to see how you feel about this.
Okay.
The first year since you just got here. And I'll let Sirius get after it and feed Barry last on that.
Yeah, I agree with you, TV. The Knicks completely collapsed. They were favorites going into this series, and they fell asleep. And other than Derrick Rose, they don't have a leader. Julius Randle had a great regular season, and it didn't transpire into the playoffs. So we all know you got to up your game when you go into the playoffs. And the Knicks fell flat on their face. They had all this hype. The fans were pumped. The NBA, I mean, NBA fans were pumped. The Knicks were finally back in the playoffs, and to get a performance like that is ridiculous. But on the other hand, we got to give credit to the Atlanta Hawks and Nate McMillan. He's got these boys balling out of their minds right now. So you got to give, hats off to Atlanta for showing up and actually playing in the playoffs like they did. And I know we'll probably talk about this here in a bit. They're tied with the Sixers 1-1 apiece, and they can win that series. So you got to give credit to where credit's due. But the Knicks fell completely flat on their face.
Darius, your thoughts on the way that the Hawks took care of business up against the Knicks and dismantling them? How does it look for Atlanta? Well, not even. I just want to get past Atlanta because Atlanta's still fighting there in a 1-1 situation, and I know that's a topic that we could discuss. But more or less on how the Knicks go further with Derrick Rose being the leader of this team, and it went from him being a bench guy and ammunition off the bench to having to start to try to save them. And how do they pass this? And it seems like every coach that gets Coach of the Year loses first round. This is the same thing that happened to George Karl, Dwayne Casey. Now this is happening to Tom Thibodeau, where I think Monty Williams and Nate McMillan got robbed for Coach of the Year. But that's just me. I feel a situation about that differently. But we'll get into that. How do you feel about the Knicks moving forward with all of the issues that they have up front and in the backcourt right now?
Again, this is going to come as no surprise to you guys, because you and I, you know, the three of us, or the four of us, speak all openly about this off air. But ultimately, I honestly believe that the Knicks, I wouldn't move Julius Randle. I think Julius Randle is a key cog in what they were able to accomplish this year. And I think he can contribute next year. But you really need to make a phone call or several phone calls to any disgruntled guard that you can find. Anybody with, you know, that plays the one, the two, the stretch three, you know, you need to make a phone call, because I honestly believe that's where you lost this series. You know what I'm saying? Literally, the Atlanta Hawks kills you on two plays, the pick and roll and the pin down. That was it. Like, you had no other option. Like, Trae Young was coming off the pick and roll and doing whatever the hell he wanted to do, and you had no answers for it. You know what I'm saying? So, with that being said, I think the Knicks, you know, are a decent team going forward. Should Tom Thibodeau win Coach of the Year? I didn't think so. I thought that should have went to Monty, just for the simple fact that the way Monty is keeping these guys rolling, the way Monty still coaches to this day, and I think because it was the Knicks, and they have been in the sea of mediocrity and pitifulness for so long, they got to a playoff series. You know, they hosted a playoff series. So I honestly think that, you know, Tom Thibodeau, you know, got the award for that. Not trying to throw shade, but if you look at how Monty Williams is playing and coaching in the Superior Conference, and he had to deal with, you know, the Western Conference as opposed to the Eastern Conference, I think just honestly, just what he was able to do with this Phoenix Suns team is sort of spectacular. But I'll leave it alone for now and let Barry go at it. But ultimately, I just there's a lot that needs to go on with the New York Knicks to get them back to where they once were. I do think this is a stepping stone in the right direction, but yeah, I'm not impressed.
Okay, well, Barry, you've heard everything. The storm is in front of you. What happens next in the middle of Manhattan?
So, I mean, we did talk about this a little bit last week. It was still kind of fresh. The wound was fresh, so I had 7 days to kind of think about it, and I did post an article on sportscitychef.com on our blog, so I encourage everybody to go read it. But listen, I hate that what Eric said, that they didn't show up. That's just crap. They didn't play well. Atlanta was a better team. They had more talent. They had better shooters. Bullock and Burks had one good game apiece. That was it. That's it. They didn't play the same way they played in the regular season. They just didn't hit open threes that they were hitting. Randall got exposed as a one-dimensional player that was indecisive and didn't want to make plays. Like, he was trying to – if you're not scoring, make plays, and he wasn't doing that. You know, he was afraid to shoot the three after a while. And he got, you know, wasn't driving. And when he was driving to the left. Capella was waiting for him, and he wasn't making quick decisions. And that was it. And, you know, Tibbs did get outcoached by Nate McMillan, but Tibbs didn't have any answer after his only chess move was putting Rose in the starting lineup. After that, you're hoping that Bullock and Burks and Randall and Barrett can start hitting threes. They didn't. They lost. That was it. So, I mean, they only gave up an average of 104 points in that series. It wasn't like they gave up 140. So, I mean, they still played good defense. They couldn't hit shots. That was it. And not that they didn't show up. Not that they didn't play hard, because they did play hard. They did show up. They just didn't hit shots. That was it. You know, I don't know how else to put it. Now, Tibbs, I think he did deserve Coach of the Year, because this team should have been nowhere near where they were as a four seed, and being 10 games over 500 and getting into the playoffs as a four seed when they were picked to win less than 20 games this year. So because I think Monty Williams had a good team that he got inherited, brought in a good player, and they expected them to win. Now, they didn't expect them to win at the clip that they did, but, you know, I think they expected them to be a playoff team. They were picked to be a playoff team. Nobody picked the Knicks to be anywhere near the playoffs. So, from that standpoint, I think Tibbs did deserve it. But you can make a case for Monty Williams. I thought, you know, it's a toss-up between those two, to be honest. But I picked Tibbs to get it. So, according to my article at City Chef, which you can read today. Listen, I got to plug the site. We got to pay bills. So, I think as a Knicks fan, there are players that they need to get in the draft. And I think there are players that they to your point, that they need to consider getting off of teams. Lillard is one, obviously. John Wall's name came up, I think, in a conversation we had. You know, I think Kelly Oubre is a guy that is an unrestricted free agent. I think, you know, he's an interesting piece. I think he got off to a rocky start in Golden State, and then he started to put it together before his ligament injury. So, you know, if you get that guy, that version of Kelly Oubre. I think he's a shooter that we could use in New York. But to Sirius's point, I think we have the cap space, but the free agent market isn't as good as it was projected to be 3-4 years ago because a lot of guys opted back in. But I think you make calls to anybody that's disgruntled and see if you can get your hands on them. If Kemba Walker is available in a trade, Damian Lillard is available in a trade. You know, I think on Clubhouse they were talking about bringing KP back. But you know, I think they have to upgrade Bullock and Burks. They need to upgrade that scoring from the outside. 3-and-D guys, they're good, but when they're not hitting threes, they're not useful. So we need guys that can score, and we'll sacrifice a little bit of the defense because we need offense. Randall, I don't think you opt him back in. I said that last week, TP. I don't think you go into the season opting him into the contract and then having 82 games asking the same question. You know, do you think he'll resign? Do you think he'll get the max money? Do you think he'll be here next year? I think you just give him the max money. I think it's, what, 23 to 26 thousand. Million. So that's a steal for a guy at his level because the contracts can go up to more than that, 40 or something. He should reject it, honestly. He should reject the extension to get more money, but if the Knicks can get him extended at $26 million, that's a bargain. Then you get a guy that's a real number one, bring him in, and then away you go. So that's, I think, what they have to do, scoring and then figuring out who's the number one guy that they can bring in to help Randall and Barrett.
I was going to ask him about this whole Barrett situation. So you're content with Barrett still being there?
Yes. He's only 21. He's only 20. He's going to be 21 next year. He's a baby. This is his first playoff. I think he improved a lot from his rookie year to this year. He improved his three-point shooting. I think he improved his defense. There was a lot of defensive lapses last year where he wasn't covering, rotating, letting defenders go by him. I think under Tibbs he had a great year. And from the free throw line, he was really wasn't a good shooter from the free throw line and got better this year. So, and that's only from year one to year two. I think what you're alluding to is the fact that he's the third overall pick, and you're looking at the guys ahead of him in Morant and Zion. They're otherworldly, and then the number three guy is Barrett, and you know he's still a work in progress. But I think he's a guy that wants to be here. He was excited to get drafted here. He's improving. He's getting better. He's only 20 years old. He'll be 21 next year. He's a baby. I think you can get a lot more out of him as a number three guy. Behind, like, if you brought in like Lillard or Westbrook or Wall or something like that, and you put him behind as a third option on that team, or maybe even the fourth option, I think you got a really good player there. So I keep him.
Okay, now where do we move to? Do we move to where Atlanta's at with Philly, even in the series, or do we talk about what's going on in LA? Do we talk about Portland and the stock situation? I mean, you could go to.
Yeah, let's clean up L.A., and then we can go into the series real quick. Yeah, let's just clean up L.A.
Okay, so I'll let you set that one off with the Lakers and, like, I guess keep Eric last on this because that's home sweet home for him, but it ain't looking good in Tinseltown.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Eric, I'll let you get a chance, but remember, we're on a time constraint, so got to keep – don't keep it brief. I mean, I went on a rant too, but not too bad. But I know you can go hard. We can be here for hours talking about it.
Yeah, no, I'll keep it short and sweet.
Oh, no, you don't have to keep it short. Do your thing, man. You got to vent. You got to let it out. But for me, you know, the Lakers, kind of fell flat. LeBron James didn't get help from AD, the injury, didn't look good and tried to go in game six and only played about 5 minutes, shouldn't have been there. Where do they go from here? Do they bring back Vogel? There's talk to them trying to, pry away Lillard or maybe even Westbrook, I think, was something that Sirius brought to the table. LeBron didn't look good in the series. Maybe he was battling the ankle injury. The ankle injury, he had enough power to walk off the court with the game still playing. So, the ankle couldn't have been that bad. but, I mean, serious, you know, I'll come to you. What do you think about the Lakers? Their disappointing end to their season. Where do they go from here? And, that, you know, honestly, does it kind of put a damper on their bubble championship, you know, what happened this year, or not at all? And do they have another run in them?
You know, honestly, man, I'm going to say this. You know, I'm not going to say it puts a damper on the championship. I'm not going to disrespect the actual grind that it took to you know, leave your family and go play ball in those conditions, and with everything that went on last summer, you know, what these guys had to go through. But I will say this. I don't care what anybody says. The health of these players, you know, and the health of your teammates is pivotal. If AD got hurt in the bubble last year, I don't think they won a championship. He got hurt this year, and they get bounced in the first round, or you know, this, that, and the third. So I'm not going to discredit that. I've seen a lot of jokes being made about, you know, how the two finalists from last year were, you know, early round exits. As a matter of fact, the Miami Heat got swept, and I'm not going to do that. However, with that being said, there's an issue in LA. There's an issue in L.A., and it's not whether, you know, LeBron James is going to wear number 23 or number 6 or whatever the case may be. They have to address the players on that roster. And I hope that, you know, maybe this may be a blessing in disguise. I was on the other app, you know, listening to a bunch of conversations about it, and a couple cats made some points. But I will say this, you know what I'm saying, LeBron James – has logged significant minutes over the course of his career. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, this was arguably one of the shortest off seasons that he has had, you know, to recover and recoup. And, you know, he snaps his fingers and he's back at training camp and back at it again. You know, this may end up being a blessing in disguise for LeBron James, because now he's able to, you know, recoup and, you know, recover. And Anthony Davis is able to recoup and recover. And, you know, obviously they're linked to possibly getting the likes of a Dame Lillard or another significant piece, which I think they need to do. They need to do something. If they go into 2021-2022 basketball season with Dennis Schroeder as their starting point guard, something is terribly wrong. If they go into next year with this same roster as it's currently constructed, something is significantly wrong. So I'm curious to see what they do with it. Curious to see who they bring in. Curious to see who they get to come alongside them and play. But I can't throw that tainted word on the championship. As a champion myself, who has played this game at one of the highest levels and been able to win, it's a grind. It's difficult. It's night in. It's night out. So you know, it's unfortunate that they got bounced. But the Lakers got some significant issues, and I can't wait to see what they do to address it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a multiple champion too, man. I grind it out in NBA 2K, so it's not easy. It's a long season. I'm kidding. no, seriously, I don't think this Laker team is going to look the same next year. But they don't have a lot of wiggle room to make moves. They have to do trades. They don't have a lot of draft capital, and they don't have cap space, so they have to make trades. But one guy that definitely shouldn't come back is Kyle Kuzma. But TP, I'll bring it to you. I mean, where do the Lakers go from here? What happens in LA? Can they make a run with this team? Do they have another run in with LeBron, who people think Father Time's touching around the shoulder a little bit, and AD, you know, I don't know what he's touched by. He just can't stay on the court.
They have to check his health. It's good that they're out of the playoffs now, because he could get a full off-season arrest, and so does LeBron. LeBron gets a rest, too. He's been running for far too long. As much as I know he's ring-chasing and trying to eclipse Kareem's numbers, things of that nature, relax. He needs to chill a little bit. But I don't know, because I was talking within another club, and they're saying that 5 to 7 people may not be coming back to this Laker team, including Schroeder, Trez, Kuzma, and others. So, like, those are three notable names that they think the Lakers may move past from. They're still up in the air about Drummond, especially the way that he came to the team and didn't look like he fit. But I think they'll bring him back just for those rebounding purposes. But it's up in the air on how I feel about LeBron, because he will be a year older. And in that series against the Suns, we've actually watched LeBron get old in front of our own eyes. So, I mean, everything that happened on him exiting the building before, or exiting the game before the game was over, all that things, I just think that that's a sour taste in his mouth, being bittersweet. But he has to show better character in that manner also, him being a leader of the Lakers, or the leader of the Lakers, forget A, but I feel like he leads that team more than Vogel can. But I think they're stuck with LeBron until he says so. I don't think that he leaves. I think AD's going to stick around LeBron as much as possible to try and get him another championship as best as he can, because Anthony Davis can't do it by himself. If Anthony Davis watched LeBron leave, you'll see the New Orleans Pelicans in L.A. Lakers gear. That's exactly what would happen if LeBron left them. So he's going to do everything that he can to keep him by his side. So I feel, me personally, I'm, like, happy that the Lakers got knocked off. But analytically, those questions remain on what LeBron is going to try to do to get people to be on that sideline with him or on the floor with him in that starting lineup. And the way it's constructed right now, they need a point guard. They need an honest trigger man, because I think another one of the other guys that they added was Caldwell Pope, and Wes Matthews may be going. So that's at least a five or a seven that I was talking about. So this is very interesting, the way the Lakers may end up moving this coming season.
Yeah, I don't think those pieces work. I don't think Caldwell Pope and Matthews work in L.A. So I know LeBron's actively recruiting right now, trying to get people in L.A. to help him get another chip, because he's chasing Jordan. I don't think he's going to get there. I never thought he was, but he definitely ain't getting there now. So even catching Kobe and Magic would be a feat in itself, because I think they can make a run, but I don't think they can win another chip. Eric, the floor is yours, brother. This is your team. This is your squad. You watch them go down in a flame, just like I watch my team go down in a flame. So, talk to me. What do you think where do you think the Lakers go from here?
Yeah, they only have six players under contract for next year as of right now. I see this team being very different. Kyle Kuzma came out and said that the short season did affect them. I don't want to use that as an excuse, because the Lakers had talent. They just couldn't find an identity the whole year. Vogel was trying to flip-flop rosters to try to get that traction, and it never really stuck. The injuries, of course, hurt. And LeBron will never, he's just never going to be that guy. He proved this year that he shouldn't even be in the conversation of Kobe or Michael Jordan at all. These guys were grinders. These guys made it happen. They were leaders. They would never walk off the court, and they would never go for a stat like LeBron James did. Oh, I got to get over 10 points, and now I'm coming out of the game instead of helping my team win. And as a Laker fan, I know people might give me flack for saying this, but I've actually talked to a bunch of my friends in L.A., and, LeBron James, it wouldn't be that bad if he left. And we build that team around AD and just completely rebuild, try to get Lillard. It'd be great if they can get Kyle Lowry or Westbrook next year. That's something that they're trying to actively pursue. So we'll see what happens with that. But, I'd be apt to trade in LeBron James to Damian Lillard. There's no way that would happen, though, because I'm sure LeBron has a no-trade clause. So he's going to be there in L.A. until he wants to leave. That's just the sad truth about that. Because he's not a Laker. Magic Johnson wants to say, Schroeder's not a Laker. That's for dang sure. Schroeder better not be back in a Laker jersey next year. It was the universe speaking when he turned down that $84 million contract, because he's not even worth that. They need to look at a whole other option than him. So that's definitely a blessing in disguise. But LeBron James is not a Laker. He just went there to elevate his status for himself. Look at me, I'm going to the Lakers, like he did when he did that little Kobe speech. Oh, this is mine, I'm going to put this team on my back, and yada, yada. He's never going to be on Laker Mount Rushmore. In the NBA 2K game, it's kind of a sin. They have the all-time Laker team, and guess who's on there? LeBron James. It's like, you got to be kidding me. But Yeah, they're going to have to look at a lot of options here. I don't know if Frank Vogel is the right guy going forward. But as a Laker fan, we got our championship. This season was a failure. And the way they played the whole year, it's time to rebuild, go back to the drawing board. Let's create a team that we can get back to Laker basketball and put a contender in each year. And you know, each year that we play, we have a chance to win. Instead of this disaster of year, you know, that we've had this year with all the talent, you know, bringing Harrell in. I mean, this was supposed to be a big year. Harrell didn't perform. Schroeder didn't perform. Matthews didn't perform. Gasol didn't perform. And then they brought Drummond in, promising him the starting role if he signs. That didn't pan out. So it was a complete nightmare this year. That's why I was worried at the beginning of the series, you know, when we talked about it on the show. I was pessimistic about it. I was like, Phoenix can very easily win this series. And they did. The Lakers didn't show me anything this year that they were going to repeat as champions. There's no way they would have got past the Utah Jazz, even if they got past Phoenix. So the Jazz are on fire right now, and I think they're the top dog in the West. So the Lakers were never on that level the whole year. So as we've seen it, this team barely made the playoffs. So there's a lot of work to be done in L.A. Can they win another chip with LeBron James there? Yeah, it's possible if they get the right pieces in play and if they can find chemistry. But this year was a complete disaster. So I don't know if the bubble in the short season had anything to do with it. We saw the injuries affect LeBron and Davis. Obviously, that's going to play a part in it. But the rest of the team did not step up in play. You know, you're going to have this in all professional sports. People are going to go down with injuries, and that's when these other players step up. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. So I would like to see Jason Kidd actually get the helm. That's who I wanted from the get-go. And Frank Vogel could have been an assistant, and they did it the other way around. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done in Los Angeles, folks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why Montrezl Harrell didn't play, I mean, that's on Vogel. So I don't think he should come back. I don't think he's the answer. I agree. Listen, I think the Lakers are going to look different. They don't have a lot of cap space because they have money tied up in their two big stars. But, you know, they have to get creative, mid-level exceptions, signing trades, whatever they can do to rebuild this team and retool it. But, yeah, I mean, TP, I totally agree with you. Walking off the court is Bush. It's Bush League, and you know what? He needs to get called out for it. It's different when, like, the Pistons walked off the court against the Bulls and the Celtics walked off the court against the Pistons. There was, like, a couple of seconds left. You know, it wasn't, like, 5 minutes, and you just walked off and said, I'm done. Two straight games. Once, okay, fine, maybe you're getting treatment.
Yeah.
But in game six, when the series over, you ain't got no treatment to get with 5 minutes left. You're a quitter. You quit. You're a baby. And I'm tired of it. You know, I'm tired of everybody, all these Bron fans crying that, like, he's the king, he's the GOAT, and then he does Bush League stuff like this. It's ridiculous. So, I mean, you know, he could be your king. He ain't mine. And I'll give him his props. He's a great player. But stuff like this always leaves a bad taste in my mouth. You're a sore loser. And, you know, maybe Jordan would have been a sore loser too, but he didn't lose very often in the finals. And when he did lose against the Magic, he took it like a man. And you know what? The next day, he was in the gym getting ready for the next season. And he gave the team a week off. And then he was like, get back to work in here. We're going back to work. And what did they do? They won 72 games and were the greatest team, one of the greatest teams ever. So, you know what? There's something to say for that. So, that's all I got to say on that. But, TP, I know you want to get into some other stuff. If you want to keep going on this Laker heat, or you want to get into the playoffs?
Oh, we could definitely – well, we could talk about Stotts being removed and the potential of what coach could go to Portland. I want to see how you guys feel about that. It's sad that they moved the coach, and then they were talking about moving other players. Now that they got rid of the coach, do they keep the roster constructed as it is, keeping Dame and CJ and others there? Or do they move a guy? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, listen, I honestly don't think McCollum and Lillard are going to win you a chip. I don't. They're good players. They play well together, but they're not good enough to play at a championship level. It's two small guards.
it's not working. I think they have to move McCullough, who has a tough contract to move. $100 million for a guy that's a second banana might be too much for some people's blood, but I think he might be a fit, Dallas, for a team that could use a shooter like him. So, or maybe even New York could use a shooter like him, so who knows. But I think Lillard, out of the two, they would want to keep Lillard, but if Lillard's not happy, he's already not getting the coach that he wants. Jason Kidd withdrew his name. You know, funny how, you know, everybody talks about the domestic violence stuff when he's considered for a head coaching job, but, you know, nobody else was
Barry's breaking up. I don't know if it's me. You may be breaking up, Barry.
All right. I hope not, but Chauncey Billups.
There you go. We got you.
Okay, yeah, Chauncey Billups, hire him. I think he's a coach in waiting. If he doesn't get the coaching job in Portland, Boston should be making a call to make him their coach. I think Chauncey Billups would be a great voice. He kind of gets the young players, and I think he would be a nice fit for Dame Lillard. Even though Lillard wanted Kidd, I think Chauncey would be a nice fit for him.
Okay, well, we'll throw this one around the cookout to see how we feel. Sirius, how do you feel about Stotts leaving? Which coach could potentially come run the show? And do you think a player or players leave this roster in Portland?
I think players or players leave. I do agree with the fact that Stotts had to go. But ultimately, if I'm a coach, I'm looking at Mark Jackson trying to get back in the thing. Obviously, Chauncey Billups, you know, comes to mind. He's a guy who, you know, took his name out of consideration. I also heard or read an article. Mike D'Antoni's name is being brought up as a possible candidate for this job, as well as the Boston Celtics job. But ultimately, I agree with Barry, man. I mean, CJ is no scrub. Obviously, Dame is insane. But I don't think they're going to win together. And I think, honestly, you know, I think Dame Dallo will probably be the one to try to force his way out. I mean, there's a lot of speculation that he'll find his way to L.A. to play with LeBron and the Lakers. You know, I find it ironic that, you know, he mentioned his guy, who his guy was, and then he, Jason Kidd, removed his name from consideration. You know, conspiracy theories tend to think that that's because they're going to try to move heaven and earth to get him to L.A. and then remove Frank Vogel as the head coach to what Eric wanted to do and make Jason Kidd the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, thus making Dame Dollar get his guy. But we'll see what happens, man. Again, this is all here saying conspiracy theories that I'm reading and hearing from different, you know, points of views. But yeah, the Portland Trailblazers, something had to be done there. And this is just the first domino to fall that I think there are going to be significant other dominoes and significant other players that don't return for next season.
Okay, Eric, your thoughts on the situation in Portland, knowing that's a longtime rival of the L.A. Lakers. Yep. They get rid of Stotts after so many years being up there running the show, and I can still remember the days of him and LaMarcus Aldridge and Dame getting together. Now they have to start all anew. What coach do you think goes there, and what pieces do you think will be moved? Do they keep the backcourt together, or do they get value off of guys like either CJ or Norm? Does Carmelo end up hanging it up? Does Carmelo go somewhere else? I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered in the city of Portland.
Yeah, you know, I think if you're the Portland Trailblazers, first let me just back that up before I get into this. Stotts, you know, we kind of talked about this at the beginning of the year. If Portland didn't go deep, is it time for him to get out of town? They needed a change of scenery, so I think that's good. Portland's had some good teams in the past, and they got kind of far in the playoffs. They flirted with the Western Conference Finals a few years back. So, you know, I think you're going to get rid of C.J. McCollum, get some value. I think if you're the Blazers, you're going to keep Lillard and Powell around and kind of build around those guys. They have some interesting pieces that they still have under contract. I don't know if Carmelo's going to be back, but he played really good there as coming off the bench. So they do have some pieces, but I think C.J. McCollum needs to be moved because that duo hasn't produced. They've had enough time. And you, in this league, you need about three guys and then some good quality bench players. And so they need to get these pieces around Lillard and Powell and build for the future. And I think Chauncey Billups would be a great pick. I also think Mike Brown would be a good pick to get these guys going. So, you know, there's also talks of, you know, Ryan Saunders. I if I was them, I wouldn't really be flirting with that idea. I'd definitely go after Billups or Mike Brown before him, but these are just some names that are being thrown in there, top candidates right now that are going to be interviewing. The writing was on the wall for Stotts. You know, he had a decent run there in Portland for sure.
Okay, I mean, everybody's going on this situation. Another thing that I'm concerned about is, I guess we could close on this one before we start getting our closeouts and things of that nature, is it over in Milwaukee already? How critical is this game three? Knowing that this is a must-win for both of them, I don't think Brooklyn wants to watch Milwaukee get back up off of the floor. And Milwaukee, they can't have this type of season come to an end at this type of screeching halt without playing against James Harden. They're getting beat up this sound and bad to a hobbled Brooklyn team, and I can't even call them hobbled. I feel like I'm laughing at myself saying they're hobbled right now, and it's the truth. I'll throw this one around to Cookout. I'll start with you first on this one. Eric, your thoughts on Milwaukee and the Nets before we close out.
Milwaukee needs to do something. I was watching that game like all you guys were, and just, if you were in the same awe as I was, like, they were almost down by 60 points at one point in the game, folks. I mean, that is unbelievable, and James Harden's not even playing. Giannis only had 18 points. They looked terrible that whole game. So I think Milwaukee is going to be an early exit. This is a must-win game. But with the first two games that have been played, I'm not confident that Milwaukee could even win a game. Brooklyn is on fire right now. I don't see them letting off the gas. I see them putting their foot on Milwaukee's throat and finishing them off. Milwaukee's going to have to come back with a – I mean, they're going to have go off the charts to beat these guys. They're going to have a big performance from Giannis, Middleton, and the supporting cast. You know, Drew Holiday is going to have to get involved. Lopez is going to have to get involved. P.J. Tucker is going to have to get involved. This is going to be a total team effort for the rest of the way out if Milwaukee wants to have a chance to win this. But like I said, the first two games, I'm not even confident that they're going to win a game in this series.
So you think a sweep is going to happen?
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. Wow.
I mean, when you're down by almost 60 points in a playoff game, come on. I mean, that's embarrassing. This is the playoffs. I don't think any team has ever been beaten that bad in the playoffs.
Okay, well, let's keep this thing rolling. Mr. Simmons, how do you feel about this? Do you agree with Eric? And how pivotal is this game three?
You know, I was one of these guys that came on this very network and posted on the social media that I actually picked the Bucks in seven. I really did.
So you still feel that same? You still feel the same that way? You still feel that way?
No. I do not, sir. I do not. I was not. And again, here's the thing. CP and I go back and forth on a regular basis, but CP has been on this network and others talking about, you know, how Brooklyn's going to wake up and they're going to have to D them up and this, that, and the third. And I call this dude all kinds of goofballs.
You know what I'm saying? And I can't even do it. Like, they may mess around and beat these Bamas, you know, four straight by a combined 100-some-odd points. Like, they can't guard anybody. Like, whatever happened to their defense, they can't guard anybody. And keep in mind, James Harden has played 47 seconds of this series. 47 seconds. Like, unless Oscar Robertson is coming out of the tunnel, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Ray Allen is shooting back up.
Glenn Big Baby Robinson, they need?
Right. I don't know, man. I don't see how in the world the Milwaukee Bucks get a game. I just don't see it. They have no answers. Like, Blake Griffin is looking like retro Blake Griffin right now.
Boy.
Like, this dude is banging on cats' heads, you know, diving for loose balls. Like, what? I mean, we all understood that KD was going to do KD stuff because, I mean, he's an assassin. Kyrie's going to do Kyrie. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he still ain't really had a knockout game yet. I mean, he's averaging somewhere close to 24, 25 in a series. It's Blake Griffin for me, bro. It's Blake. Like, they're not even – the Bucks are not even – I mean, the Nets aren't even playing a true center. They're not even playing a center. Blake Griffin is just starting five, man. So that means you got Brook Lopez, 7'20" ass out there, can't bang with him. You got Giannis, you know, with a 7'20" wingspan, can't mess with him. What the – yo, I'm done. It's a wrap, you know what I'm saying? It's a good thing. I like Ty because this humble stuff is tasting quite well. I had the Bucks in seven. These Bamas are going to get swept up out of here, and it's not going to be pretty. I got them beating them by 40 tomorrow.
Yo, Sports City, I've come so far along around this world, man. I'm telling you, so many years have gone by. And this boy done came on air in front of all of y'all and said that he admit where he wrong to me. Yo, oh, my goodness. Y'all feel like I'm at church. I'm about to shout. Okay, so, Barry, how do you feel about this situation?
I just see, like, an old lady with a church hat dancing in the middle of the album.
If you ever heard the song Santorini Grease by Rick Ross, Rick said, my bank account called the Holy Ghost. I said, my bank account called the Holy Ghost. Listen, I feel the type of thing. But, Barry, I want to ask you a question that, like, on top of what everything you just heard, I want you to answer how you just answered, too, or however you put your twist to it. Are you still hearing anybody talking about Brooklyn's defense now? Because you were hearing a lot of people talking that crap before. They are not talking that crap any longer.
No, so, I mean, listen,
yeah, and I was one of those people, Timeless, and they have definitely put everything together. They are playing defense, and it's great to see. I wasn't hating on them when I was saying it. It was just what was going on at the time. And we all agreed this team would have to play defense if they wanted to win a championship. And now they're firing on all cylinders, so it's scary for the rest of the league right now.
I absolutely agree. And the thing was that I think the first couple weeks, maybe month or so, the defense was horrid. And I think they did have chemistry issues. But once they put Harden at the point and then they started to kind of figure it out to Eric's point, their defense started to come around. They played much better defense. And you know what? People don't give Kevin Durant as much credit for his defense as they do his offense. I'm not saying he's an all-world defender and a, you know, defensive player of the year candidate, but he plays pretty damn good defense. And I don't think people give him enough credit for what he does. Like, he's guarding Giannis, and he guards him pretty darn well. He does chase downs. He gets blocks and stuff. He's a pretty good defender. It's not that he's a great defender. He's a willing defender, and he gives effort on defense. And that's the key to defense. That's what separates him from, like, Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo wasn't a great defender, but at times when he wanted to, he would give the effort. A lot of times he just didn't give the effort on defense. So
Yeah, you got to definitely give credit to their defense. And TP, I'm watching the game, and you know one of my favorite lines from a movie is when Duke in Rocky IV said throw in the damn towel.
Throw it in, boy.
It's a wrap. And you know what? The Milwaukee Bucks have completely embarrassed themselves. That is a pitiful, embarrassing performance in the first two games. Not only did you get blown out, they got blown out by 40 points in game two without James Harden. I'll say it again. Without James Harden, you got blown out by 40 points. If anything, they should have got a sweep if they were – not a sweep. They should have got a split if they were playing Harden and playing at their level where they should be, because this was one down the stretch one of the best offensive teams in the league. The stats backed it up that the Bucks were one of the best offensive teams in the league, and that just tells you how good the defense is in Brooklyn. But to not have Harden on the court and you get your doors completely blown off and you don't show up, that's embarrassing. The coach, Boolhauser, bye-bye, you just lost your job. Giannis, you lost your spot as the best player on the planet. I don't know if you were really considered a best player. You're the two-time reigning MVP until the Joker got it this year. You embarrassed yourself. You will never be a shooter. I don't know what you're doing. You're easily defensed. It's a wrap for you. Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, embarrassing. You're embarrassing yourself. Just let it go. We don't believe you. You need more people. It's a wrap. I'm not going to watch these guys tell me that they're a number two, a number three guy, that Milwaukee has their version of a big three, and to see the performance. Now, they could turn it around. They're going home. They got the home crowd. They can easily win a couple games and make this a series. But playing like this, this team needs to get broken up. It's a wrap. It is embarrassing. I have never seen a team that has championship aspirations get – I mean, we've seen teams get down, but this is embarrassing. This is pitiful. And it, you know what? Nets in five. I'll give them a gentleman sweep because the Bucks have a little bit more pride than most teams. But it's a gentleman sweep. The Nets are not playing. I don't think the Sixers can play with the Nets. And I don't know. The only team out west that can probably give them a series are the Suns and the Jazz. Good night. It's a wrap.
Well, 4-City, we are going to close on that situation. But before I close and get this thing thrown around the building as best as I possibly can, I told every last one of these dudes I'm talking about, from Aaron Sirius Simmons to Barry the Villain and Jordan, and I also have Eric Big Easy Gross. I told every last one of them about this situation in Brooklyn. They did not want to hear me. And the crazy part about it is I said, Jrue Holiday, the dude that played for three quarters? Yeah, that's the same dude I was talking about. Y'all can rewind the tape. We said this right here in this cookout. If you think I'm lying, I'm flying. And I have no wings on my back. None. So, listen, I'm going to chill. I'm going to pass this right back to Barry to get this closeout rolling. Thank you for everybody that's participated here at Sports City. I loved every last little bit of this situation. As we proceed to give you what you need.
Wait, you can't come to me first. You got to go to Eric, give us a closeout, Eric, thank you. Shut up, Sirius.
Hey, Eric,
give us a closeout.
I just want to mention, too, I got those documents all signed, heading out to you. So we got some sponsors ready and going up on the website. It's going to be great. Thanks to all the supporters and listeners out there. Check out the website, sportscitychefs.com, the blogs, the merchandise. And everybody have a blessed night. And as always, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure.
Glad you're feeling better, too, E. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yep,
I hate him so much, y'all. I hate him so much.
Listen, Sports City, I want you to know, tell these dudes don't send for me no more. I told them to leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm from that town. I'm from that town. You know what I'm saying? I try to tell them, they want him a TP. Don't know what he talk about. Brooklyn need to play defense. Oh, my goodness. There come Giannis. I told every last one of these dudes to guess who's laughing now. They're all laughing, but they're laughing with me. Like, and I'm the superhero, and I got a devilish laugh right now. Like I'm laughing at this situation. They're laughing with me, though. This is funny how karma works. As you proceed, Barry. Hey, well, Barry checked out. Barry, where you go? You want to talk about
it? Sorry. No, I'm here.
Yo,
the villain's
always
here.
Wow, yeah, this knocked him off the feet like Michael Jackson.
And that 703, man. Such a pleasure to be with you guys on another edition of the Call of Cookout, man. Chop it up with the fellas, man. Definitely check us out. www.sportscityjeff.com, the blogs and merchandise. Shout out to Big Eazy-E and those people that are supporting us, getting us sponsors, and you know, trying to do some big things here on this side of the network. Shout out to my man TP, my man Sean Fletch, and some other friends of mine who got me plugged in. It's going to be fun, man. Sports is what we do. Sports is our life, man. So it's going to be fun chopping it up with other people who share the same sentiment as I do. With that being said, man, it's your boy Sirius. I'm gone. I'll catch you guys later, man. Nick suck.
Get on the blog. Start blogging, Sirius.
Yeah, and he needs to start sharing links, too. He needs to share a tweet. That's what he needs to do, man, before we go to Virginia Buffett's boy Airwire. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
He's playing around with him.
Share a freaking link and get on the blog.
Word up. I'm not
blogging.
Playing, yo. Yo, word to Jessica, man. We're going to give Jessica passes to a good show with Malik and go bust his dude head wide open. ask Malik if he want to go see Cruella. We'll give him movie passes, just them two, and tear him up, Barry. You ready?
Not Cruella.
Yeah, send him to Cruella so they're there for a little bit. So after he get beat up, and Malik be like, Daddy, I want doggies. Yep, and then he got to get a dog too. So now, if you're scared, get a dog.
Exactly. We'll get the life of pets or something like that, whatever. Oh, yeah. Listen, Sports City, man, we're doing big things, man. I love you guys. Get to the website, read the blogs, posting articles. We got articles going up all the time. You know, like Eric said, we got sponsors, so supporting the movement that we got going on here. Shout out to the boys at Clubhouse who we interact with through the day, through the week. TP does a great job over there as well. Talking that ish and with that LeBron and Jordan talk today, I had to, you know, spank a couple, put them over the villain's knee and spank them up a little bit and let them know. But it was fun, man. I love doing that. I love talking sports and having another outlet. So shout out to them. Shout out to all our supporters. You know, we've got podcasts all over the place, Spotify, Amazon, Google, FM radio, Apple. You can find us. We're out there, baby. Just all you gotta do is ask your device, and you can find us. So get to that. Shout out to Caviar on the ones and twos who did the theme music for us. Got to shout out him and Taj. You know, I always forget to shout them out, but got to shout them out for the love. Repping Sports City. Get to the site, get the merchandise. You know, we got stuff coming. You know, we're doing that movement, man. We're doing a lot of big things. And you know, I'll let TP close us out. And I just got to let him know every good hero needs a villain, and that's the villain. I'm out.
Listen, if you know, this is when we knock that kryptonite somewhere into the fire and it just breaks and burns because you watch them all fall and crumble. They all stumbled and falled in front of me. You feel what I'm saying? So with that being said, Sports City, I'm going to let y'all in on a little treat, Sports City. And I'm kind of proud of the connections and the networking that I've been doing, Sports City. I potentially have a former ESPN analyst and host that wants to join Sports City. Holler at your boy. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Ow. That's my cue. I'm supposed to hit the music. I didn't hit the music.
Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef. Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef, Sports City, Sports City. Chef, Chef, Sports City, Sports City. Chef. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City.